Hi, this is John Walker from Imaging Editor at Sky and Telescope. Nick Reisinger has joined us for a phone interview. His article on shooting an all-sky survey called For All the Night Stars is featured in our February issue about his pursuit of shooting an all-sky survey. And he has an interactive website about this. How you doing, Nick?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Sean.
Oh, no problem. Hey, we went into a lot of detail on why you decided to image the entire night sky, but a couple of questions linger in my mind, in case I might want to take up the endeavor, or one of our readers would, too. One of the first things I was wondering was, what influenced your equipment choices? I understand about your camera choices, and that was ingenious with the smaller field of view, but what about your mount and your filters?
Yeah. So the version that you published is actually a second prototype. The first go-around, I was actually using a fork mount with three cameras instead of six. And it worked fairly well with the filter wheel, but I did the math and I realized that it was going to take a bit longer than I had planned on spending on the project. So that's when I kind of re-envisioned the equipment setup and made what you see now, which is the equatorial mount with six cameras, kind of arranged in an unusual way there.
Was there any particular reason to choose the Takahashi? Was that an EM200 or
EMO? I think it was an EM11.
Okay.
Yeah, the reason I chose that mount is because it's a high quality, very sturdy mount, but it's still relatively lightweight, and I knew I was going to be doing a lot of air travel, so that was important to keep the overall weight of the package down. And it's also computer controlled, so that was important. But there's other mount options out there that would have worked. That's just the particular one I decided to go with.
Well, that brings me to my next question. What did you find the most difficult part of traveling with all this equipment?
Well, the traveling itself is obviously physically exhausting, especially going to South Africa. That's about 24 hours worth of flying in one direction. But equipment was relatively portable. Like I mentioned, we carried it around in some golf cases. So they were fairly easy to get around, but you know, setting up in another country is always kind of intimidating because you never know, you know, what might happen to the equipment and is something going to break halfway around the world. But the most challenging part of it is probably the physical and the mental strain of staying up, 15 hours a night kind of thing.
Nice. So I suspect that you had a couple of extra cords available just in case something broke.
I did. I actually had a spare camera and a spare laptop because things can go wrong and you just don't want to, you know, miss a beat.
Oh, definitely. I've used those Microline 8300s, and they're pretty sturdy little beasts there.
They are. They're sturdy, and they're relatively compact. Again, going back to the portability issue, you know, I could have used a full-size camera, but you can't really strap six of those to a mount. It's just too heavy. It's a good quality camera in a small package, so that was important.
Definitely. So after you've recorded all this information, I've done some mosaics myself, and one question I had for you was, how were you able to get rid of any sky glow from night to night or light pollution gradients to make this appear to be such a seamless result?
Yeah, that's a big issue whenever you're doing a wide-angle photography, especially mosaics. The sky is different levels of air glow and, you know, sometimes the zodiacal light will pop in there, depending on which area of the sky you're imaging. And so what I did was use a low-resolution background master, I'll call it, and that was from data taken from the Pioneer space probe. So they actually flew outside the zodiacal cloud and imaged the night in red and blue. So using that master low-res background plate, you can then calibrate that against your data at very low resolutions and subtract out the background master to create a sort of bad background plate. And then you take that low-res background plate of the bad information and subtract it from your original data. Kind of eliminates those gradients.
Is that all done on the raw FITS files first? Or
right, yep. It's all done in FITS.
Wow. Well, no wonder you had such heavy computing. You know, you said a few months of processing and just grinding.
Yeah, there was a lot of CPU time, and that's mainly due to the fact that there were 37,000 exposures. It's a lot of data to wade through, and everything had to be scripted because you can't manually, you know, hand process that much information. position, it would just take far, far too long. A lot of the processing, especially that background removal, was done through IRAF, which is a scriptable program that's been around for a long time.
Excellent. Did you have a lot of trial and error learning how to use that program?
Yeah, it's definitely not a user-friendly program. It's all, you know, command line stuff, and it was definitely kind of intimidating using that at first because I had never used anything like it before. Things you can do with it are it's very powerful.
So now that you've made a name for yourself with your Photopic Sky Survey, any new projects that you're thinking about or have on the back burner here that you're
working with? Well, I'm still kind of focused on this project, believe it or not. So I have the website running, and that's continuing to operate. I've also got some new posters coming out soon, hopefully before the end of the year, and they're good for like classroom use. They're annotated, so it's going to be a really neat product, I think. Kind of dabbling here and there with photo, kind of, you know, tailoring it to new uses. And one of my main focuses with the image is getting it into more physical forms for, you know, planetariums and galleries and that kind of thing. It's an image that is best experienced on a large canvas, and as neat as the website is to go and look at it, still you're looking at it on a low computer screen, and it doesn't quite do it justice.
No, not at all. But it's definitely useful in that format. Here you're going to have a large print at the Starstruck show. I believe that's Bates College in Maine next summer.
Yeah, that's coming up next year, I think, next summer, and running through the end of the year. So that will be neat. I think they're going to do a fairly large, like a 10 or a 12-foot print for that.
Yeah, excellent.
So I'm excited to see that. I've only seen prints myself up to, gosh, I think only 6 feet.
Only. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you so much for your time, Nick.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Look forward to your future projects.